Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, given the Torah in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Now that completes the Torah readings for the whole year. We've read 54 parashot. We don't always get to read 54. I think next year we've only got 52 or 53 because it's a shorter year in the number of weeks. And often today it's a day where you've now got to the very end of the Torah scroll and they unwind it completely, and they put it around each other, everyone grabs part of it, and then they rewind it back so that it starts where we will start next week in Bereshit. But that's just a tradition. We don't do it. We don't follow the traditions of man. I didn't read anywhere in our readings today that told us we had to do that. So we don't do it. So let us pray. Abba Father, I just thank you for the word that I'm about to bring. I pray that people will be receptive to those words, that they will understand that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart are towards them. And I pray, Abba Father, that those words will also be acceptable in your sight, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, as are today being Yeshua's naming day and the final day of Sukkot, it's a day of rejoicing. And I want us to rejoice in the fact that we have eternal life and we have been redeemed by the grace of Yehovah, who sent his son Yeshua on this earth to die for our sins. Even though he himself was without sin, he died that we could have eternal life. And so I want to concentrate my whole message today on Yeshua. Yeshua was born on the Feast of Sukkot. It's the greatest of the seven feasts. And on the 15th day of the seventh month of the first day of the 7 days of Sukkot, on Yehovah's Feast of Days of Rejoicing. So it was a day, the whole feast is for rejoicing, of bringing the harvest in and rejoicing of how much Yah has blessed them over the year. Now Christmas is celebrated by millions of Christians as Yeshua's birthday. But it's time to celebrate the truth. Yeshua was born on the seventh biblical feast, the Feast of Sukkot, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, because he came on this earth to tabernacle with us. Since Yeshua's conception was 9 months prior to his birthday on Sukkot, did Yah also prophesy in his word the exact day of conception? Can anyone tell me if that is an answer? Is it in the scripture what day he was going to be conceived? The answer is actually yes. And we can find it in Haggai chapter 2, verse 18. And it says in Haggai 2, 18 and 19, "Consider now this day forward from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Hekel, that is the temple of Yehovah, was laid. Consider it. Is the seed yet in the storehouse? And until now the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive trees have not yet yielded fruit. From this day on I shall bless you. The 24th day of the fifth month leads us into the beginning of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is on the 25th day. The great miracle of Yeshua's conception happened in the womb of the Virgin late in the winter of the ninth month, also known as Kislev, according to the Babylonian calendar. And in Yeshayahu Isaiah 7:14 it says, "Therefore, Yehovah himself gives you a sign. Look, the maiden conceives and gives birth to a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means El, or Yah is with us. What did Yeshua accomplish for us when he was born onto the earth from the womb of the Virgin Mary? Well, he restored to mankind who we are as true sons and daughters of Yehovah. Our lost identity as Yehovah's children was then restored to us on that day. In the genealogy of Yeshua in the book of Luke, it finishes with Luke chapter 3, verse 38, Adam, son of Yehovah. Now we all know Adam, or Adam, means the earth, mankind that was taken from Adamah, which is the earth or the ground. Adam is also, as I said, Hebrew for man, and with Yeshua's death, he then purchased our lost sonship. So what is stopping us celebrating Yeshua's birthday? It is because not all messianic leaders or church scholars and leaders are in agreement with Yeshua's true birthday being the Feast of Sukkot. There are a few opinions, and yet these opinions differ. But Sukkot is Yeshua's true birthday, and it's something that should be commemorated and even celebrated, because without it, we could never have salvation. So before we look at the 13 different points of proof that Yeshua's true birthday being on Sukkot, I want to address first three major objections with the proofs given by the Holy Spirit for which each of these objections is correct. So the first one is that all the men of Israel were commanded by Yehovah in the Torah that during the three major feasts of Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, they had to come to the place where Yehovah would place his name, which later became the Hekal, or temple, in Yerushalayim. And this was especially true during the 7 days of the Feast of Sukkot. So how was it possible then for Yosef to not have violated the Torah, that is Miriam's husband Yosef, who since Yosef was in Beit Lechem, or Bethlehem, and not in Yerushalayim for those 7 days of Sukkot, with his betrothed wife Miriam, and then your born baby Yeshua? The answer being to that was that Yosef was truly in the place where Adonai had placed his name, because he was with Yeshua. He was in the presence of the Son of Yehovah. And the baby Yeshua, the very Hakal, or tabernacle, where Yah had chosen to place his holy name these 7 days of Sukkot when he was first born. Now, the second major argument against Yeshua's birthday being on Sukkot is a book by a leading messianic rabbi that states, and I said messianic rabbi, not a Jewish Orthodox rabbi, but a leading messianic rabbi states that Yeshua was born in the spring of the first day of the first month. That's about March our time. On which the 14th day of that is Pesach, or Passover. Yeshua could not possibly have been born on the first day of the first month, the month of Passover. As many people have been taught, and as many believed. For if this were true, then his cousin Yochanan, or John the Immerser, Yochanan the Immerser, who was born 6 months earlier, would have been born during the time of these fall festivals, as they're known, but to us they're spring festivals, but in the Northern Hemisphere they're fall festivals. So during 30 years later, when they start their ministry, during the fall festivals, Yehovah's prophet would have been starting out in the Yarden River to do all of his immersing. The major problem with this theory is that it would mean that they would be immersing between October and March. And if we think about Israel between October and March, it's cold, it's windy, it's raining, and it's snowing. I don't think they'd be immersing then. So remember how Jochanan was dressed as well. He was wearing his summer's best camel hair robes. And can I assure you that not all Messianic rabbis and leaders get the timing right? All of the time. Even when they write the timing into their books and into their documentation. The third theory is that Yeshua was born on the eve of the Feast of Hanukkah, which is the 24th of the ninth month, also known as Kislev. Now, Yeshua could not possibly have been born during the time of Hanukkah either, because in December, on the 24th and of the ninth month of Kislev, during the winter, it's too cold. For at that time, the shepherds are not out in the field. Their animals are in their sukkah, which is always built. Before you start building your house, you build your sukkah for your animals. And so round about December and onwards, it's too cold. The animals are in the sukkah. There would have been no room for Miriam and Yosef and for the baby to go into the manger after it's born as a crib, because the animals would have been eating out of that trough. So also in Haggai 2:18, the 24th of the ninth month, as I said, falls on the Hanukkah, Eve, Rev Hanukkah as we know it, every year. And this is also around the time of the Christian Christmas, when so many Christians celebrate Yeshua's, Jesus' birth. And I believe the reason the Christmas time is so very special worldwide is because this was a great miracle happened on this day. It was Yeshua's conception. It was when the Virgin Mary actually had conceived Yeshua on that day. But historically, Hanukkah was when the Maccabees and Aharonic priest family threw out the Tzaddiki priests, the high priest and the rest of the Tzaddiki priesthood from the Yerushalayim temple, thus corrupting the temple and sacrificing pigs on it. And that happened 165 years before Yeshua was born, in violation of the word found in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel 43, 18 and 19 it says, "And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Master Yehovah, these are the laws for the altar on that day when it is made, for offering burnt offerings on it and for sprinkling blood on it. And you shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priests of the Levi'im, who are the seed of Zadok, who approach unto me, declares Master Yehovah." So it was only the Zadok line that could offer the animal, the bull, up for the sin offering. And in Yechezkel 44, 15 and 16, it says, "But the priests, the Levi'im, and the sons of Zadok, who guarded the duty of my set apart place when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall draw near to me to serve me and shall stand before me to bring me the fat and the blood, declares Master Yehovah. They shall enter my set apart place, they shall draw near to my table to serve me, and they shall guard my charge." So now that we've ruled out three of the main objections against the time of Yeshua's being born on Sukkot, let's focus on the 13 points that Yeshua was indeed born on Sukkot. So Yeshua came to earth for Yehovah's purpose on Yehovah's days. Yehovah speaks to the shepherds out in the field. In Luke 2 and verse 10 it says, "The messenger said to them," this is the shepherds, "do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people." And Sukkot is the main feast where we are commanded to rejoice and have joy. It's an amazing time. It's a time of rejoicing. And Vayikra, Leviticus 23, verse 40 says, "And you shall take yourselves on the first day of the fruit of good trees, branches of palm trees, twigs, leafy trees, and willows of the stream, and you shall rejoice before Yehovah your Elohim for 7 days." Remember last week, Minister Yitzhak said that it's those leafy trees, twigs, palm trees, willows, streams, etc., that they make their sukkahs from. And in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, "Perform the festival of booths for 7 days after the ingathering from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your festival, you and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant and the levee and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates." Yeshua was born on the greatest of the seven of Yehovah's seven feast days. It's amazing when we think about seven. There are seven major feasts that Yehovah commanded of Israel, the people Israel. Seven is the number of Yeshua, if you look at it in Gematria numbers. And Yeshua was born on the first day of the seventh feast. That to me is a specific sign, for it had to be held on a feast day and also on a day of great joy. The day could only be the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Rejoicing. What better purpose would there be to rejoice than the fact that Yeshua, our Saviour, was born? As I said, he was born on a very specific day. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And the messenger said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of joy, which shall be to all people, because there was born to you in the city of David a Saviour, who is Messiah, the Master.'" Sukkot is the greatest of all the feasts of Yehovah, according to Vayikra or Leviticus chapter 23. In Galatians 4, 4 and 5, "But when the completion of the time came, Elohim sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under Torah, to redeem those who were under Torah, in order to receive the adoption as sons." I'm going to have a look at two slides now, and when we look at Luke 2, 7 to 14. And it says, "She," which is Miriam, "gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him up and laid him down in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in a lodging place." Well, I don't believe in that bit, because as you know, it was Sukkot. They're also in Beit Lechem, which is the place where both Yosef and Miriam had all of their families. I'm not too sure about your family, but I know about my Jewish family. And whenever we have people, whenever big celebrations and things come up, we make room in our houses for our family to stay. But Miriam and Yosef didn't want to stay in the house because it was Sukkot, and everyone was on the roof. In those days, the roofs were flat, and they built their sukkah on the roof and lived on the roof for 7 days where they could see the stars. Now, for Miriam and Yosef to be there with the rest of the family, it would not be very nice for you to birth a child. So they were given the original sukkah. They were given the sukkah that where the scriptures tell us to build a sukkah for your animals before you build your own home. So they went into this, what we call English a stable, but in Hebrew it's a sukkah. So they went into the sukkah, which had all the straw there, made nice and comfortable for them. It had an empty feeding trough to lay the baby after it was born, and they had privacy, yet they could still see the stars for the 7 nights. In the same country, there were shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And look, a messenger of Yehovah stood before them, and the esteem of Yehovah shone around them, or the glory of Yehovah shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the messenger said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Because there was born to you today in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Master. And this is a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped up, lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was with the messenger a crowd of heavenly host, praising Elohim and saying, "Esteem to Elohim in the highest and on earth among men, with whom he is pleased." What a better place for them to be on that day. Now, I also know that some scriptures say there was no room in the inn. Now, inn is an English word, not a Hebrew word. And if you know that even the sojourner, who wasn't a family member, always stayed at the city gate until they were invited by a Hebrew to bring them into their home. Sojourners stayed in the homes of the Israeli people. They didn't have inns or places like that at that time. Yeshua was born in Beit Lechem. And I love the fact that he was born in Beit Lechem, because although people think of it as Bethlehem, Beit Lechem actually means house of bread. And who was Yeshua to us? He is our bread of life. What better place for him to be born? So this was the festival of Sukkot, where all the families were living on the roof at home in their sukkah. There couldn't have been a better place for his birth, in my opinion. Number four, on the second night of the Feast of Sukkot in Yerushalayim, they had a special annual candelabra or a lighting ceremony of illuminating Yerushalayim. The temple, in front of the temple, they held four 74 feet high golden menorot. So they didn't have the seven candelabra on it. It was a four golden candelabra. And it stood 75 feet high, I'm sorry. And that's about the height of a seven-story building, or just a bit above. A pretty tall candelabra, isn't it? So there were four of them. And they would light these menorot, and they would use the worn-out garments of the priests as the wicks, because they were linen, fine linen. And they would use those as wicks in the candelabra. And the light of this special candle lighting ceremony was so great that it could be seen all over Yerushalayim and even across to Beit Lechem. I don't know whether you've ever been to Beit Lechem, but it was an absolutely amazing light show. Dev, did you get to Beit Lechem? You were blessed. It was intifada type stuff when we were over there, and with rockets going off and people killing themselves, blowing themselves up the whole time we were there, so we didn't get into Beit Lechem. So while this is a great show, it was going on to light up the temple 5 miles away in Yerushalayim, Yehovah was putting his own great light show up in the heavens for the shepherds to see in the fields of Beit Lechem that night, and to give glory to Yeshua, his only begotten Son, the light of the world, and who truly was born on the first day of Sukkot. And this in a most humble sukkah in a stable of Beit Lechem. And Luke 2 and verse 12 says, "And this is a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped up, lying in a feeding trough." Now, some translations say wrapped in swaddling clothes. And one major belief is that the swaddling clothes with their Aharonic priest's linen garments, which they were using for the menorot. But these swaddling clothes that baby Yeshua was wrapped in were different. They could only have been the swaddling clothes of his own family. You see, his close relative was his priest or high priest, Zechariah or Zechariah, who was really the mystery Zadok, high priest of Aharon. Yeshua would have been wrapped in the clothes of the Aharonic Zadok, high priest. Remember that Zadok also means Zedek or righteous. And that's what the Zadok priesthood is. It's the righteous priesthood compared to the Leviim. Swaddling clothes were also believed to have been what the legs of the baby lambs were wrapped in to protect them from injury, especially those baby lambs which were chosen for temple sacrifices on the feast days. And that's according to the book The Temple by Alfred Adesheen. A sukkah was the baby's dwelling place for those 7 days in Beit Lechem, just after his birth. As I said, Beit Lechem is only 5 miles from Jerusalem, and it's classed as a walking distance from Jerusalem. As I said, Malachi and I haven't been to Beit Lechem, but we've been to Gilo. And when we were in Jerusalem, there was a lot of jihadist bombing going on. There was a lot of people blowing themselves up. There'd been a huge in Ben Yehuda Street, the main street of Jerusalem. There'd been huge bombings happening where they blew themselves up in front of one section, and then down the bottom where all the ambulances came and the fire brigade, etc., to rescue all those that were killed, they sent off a car bomb. And that killed a lot of people that were come to help the those that were sick. And even just when we were in our hotel, you could hear the bombs going off while we were there. So it wasn't safe to go to Beit Lechem. But we did go to Gilo. And Gilo is a suburb of Jerusalem that overlooks Beit Lechem. And it was during the time that the Palestinians would go into the Christian homes, kill the Christians, and then use their homes to shoot and fire rockets off at Gilo. And you could stand there, and it was just like looking across the road virtually, because it was a huge valley in between the two, and they were just across the road. So it would have been easy for the lights of those menorot to be seen in Beit Lechem at the same time. This happened in the 1990s to 2000, the Intifada during that time. So in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 to 43, it said, "And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the 7th month, this is the festival of booths for 7 days to Yehovah. On the first day is a set apart gathering. You do no servile work. For 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. On the 8th day there shall be a set apart gathering for you, and you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. It is a closing festival. You can do no servile work. These are the appointed times of Yehovah, which you proclaim as set apart gatherings, to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a slaughtering and a drink offerings, as commanded for every day. Besides the Shabbats of Yehovah, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your voluntary offerings, which you give to Yehovah, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you gather in the fruit of the land, when you gather in the fruit of the land, observe the festival of Yehovah for 7 days. On the first day is a day of rest, and on the 8th day is a day of rest. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of good trees, branches of palm trees, twigs of leafy trees, and willows of the stream, and shall rejoice before Yehovah your Elohim for 7 days. And you shall observe it as a festival to Yehovah for 7 days. In the year, a law, in 7 days in the year, a law forever, a law for forever in your generations. Thanks, honey. Observe it in the seventh month, dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native in Israel dwell in booths, so that your generations know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. I am Yehovah your Elohim. So that was a commandment that they had to do once they left Egypt and when they first went into Israel, every year after that. And that still applies to this very day. The prophecy of Yeshua's conception on the 24th day of the ninth month, when the foundations of Yahweh's temple was laid, according to Haggai 2 and verse 18, was 9 months prior to his birthday on the Feast of Sukkot. The 24th day of the ninth month happens every year around a special day, which is our Christmas time or Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is our feast of dedication. It is during this time of the year that it's another eighth day celebration of which we rededicate our lives to Yehovah and to Yeshua. And it's usually during this time that we do our full immersions in the river, Narang River, at Buds Beach. That's it. Narang River on Buds Beach. So we're looking forward to doing more this Hanukkah. So why is the Feast of Dedication so important? Because this is the time that the greatest miracle of all happened on earth. The Son of Yehovah, Yeshua, came into the womb of the Virgin Miriam at his conception. The biggest problem with this era is that Christians and the world have taken Yeshua completely out of the festival and made it into one that celebrates pagan deities. The date is also the eve, the Christmas is also the eve of Hanukkah or Erev Hanukkah. But the Feast of Hanukkah was also when the Maccabees kicked out the Zadok Kohen Gadol, or High Priest, and all other Zadoki Kohanim from Yerushalayim Temple around 165 BC, or before this current era, corrupting all the temple practices and the Aharonic priesthood for the next 165 years. The greatest feast days of Yehovah will be celebrated during the millennial reign of Yeshua HaMashiach. The days of Sukkot and Passover, or Pesach. Sukkot was when Yeshua was born of the Virgin, and Pesach was when Yeshua died for us on the stake for all our sins, giving his life to redeem the sins of mankind and also the sins of the earth. In Yechezkel or Ezekiel 45 verses 21, it says, in the first month of the 14th day of the month, you have Passover, a festival of 7 days, unleavened bread is eaten. And in verse 25 it says, in the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month at the festival, he prepares like these 7 days as a sin offering, as the burnt offering, as the grain offering, and as the oil. Of the seven festivals of Yehovah, these are the only two festivals, when he was crucified and when he was born, that are eight-day festivals. The first is the festival of unleavened bread, beginning on the eighth day, makes it the 14th day when the Passover lamb was slain, and then the 15th day going on to the 21st day, we have the festival of Matzah, which is a 7 day festival where no leaven is eaten at all. So in that festival, it's an 8 day festival, followed by Sukkot, which is a 7 day festival, with Shemini Atzeret, today being the eighth day. Both the time he was born and the time he died are the only two eight-day festivals in all of Scripture. Now, I want to take you now to the eighth division of the descendants of Aviyah, because this shows us exactly the time when Yeshua would be born. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, We go to Jochen and John. Sorry. Okay, did it again. Jochen and John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we saw his esteem as of an only brought forth of a Father, complete in favour and truth. Where it says it pitched his tent among us is an indication that his birth was during the festival of Sukkot. By studying the priestly division or order of a priest of Zachariah, and Zachariah, who was of Aviyah, which was the eighth order of the 24 divisions of the Aharonic priesthood or Zadokim priesthood, listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, I'm going to get us look at those divisions to help you understand, because it's not something that you read or hear about a lot. Now, as it says, there were 24 divisions of the priesthood. Of those 24 divisions, each division would serve for 2 weeks at a time. So the Zadok priesthood would only serve in the temple for 2 weeks every 50 weeks. In Chronicles 6 to 19, it says, and the scribe Shemaiah, son of Netanel, one of the Levi'im, wrote them down before the sovereign and the rulers, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech the son of Eviatar, and the heads of the fathers of the houses of the priests and the Levi'im, one father's house taken for Eleazar, and one for Itamar. And the first lot came forth to Yehoyariv, the second to Yedidah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malkiah, the sixth to Miyamin, the seventh to Hakots, the eighth to Aviyah, the ninth to Yeshua, the tenth to Shekinyahu, the 11th to Eliashiv, the 12th to Yachim, the 13th to Chupah, the 14th to Yeshivav, the 15th to Bilgar, the 16th to Emer, the 17th to Hezir, the 18th to Habitzetz, the 19th to Petchakiah, the 20th to Yechezkel, the 21st to Yachin, 22nd to Gamul, the 23rd to Deliahu, and the 24th to Maazihu. These were the officers in their service for coming to the house of Yehovah, according to their right rulings by the hand of Aharon their father, as Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, had commanded them. So as we see, the eighth is the sons of Aviyah, and Zechariah was the son of Aviyah. Let's see what's happening here. In Luke, so these were the divisions of Aviyah. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, there was in the days of Herodes, the sovereign of Yehuda, a certain priest named Zachariah of the division of Aviyah. And his wife was the daughter of Aharon, whose name was Elisheva. Now, so both Jochanan and his wife were of the priestly line of Aharon. If Zechariah was serving in a temple in the first obligatory time, which should have been the latter weeks of June on the Roman calendar, if you take the eighth division from the first of Aviv, So if the first of Aviv is on in round about March, then if you take the 16 weeks and the eighth division, would bring it to around the end of June. And that is easy to prove that his son Yochanan will be born at the time of Pesach, late March or early April, as Zechariah would have been serving in the temple in the latter weeks of June, and Elisheva would have conceived soon after. Therefore, since these two were cousins and they were 6 months apart, Yeshua was born at Sukkot in late September or early October. Miriam would soon birth her son Yeshua. Now the spiritual temple of Yehovah, Yeshua, the son of Yehovah, was about to be birthed on the earth. And as we know, the biblical feast was happening in the physical temple of Yehovah, the temple that the King Solomon, King David's son, built in Jerusalem. So it was actually finished and completed. We read when the foundation stone was laid, but it was actually finished and completed for the festival of Sukkot. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of Yehovah, was placed inside the Holy of Holies. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 3, it says, "And all the work that Shlomo had done for the house of Yehovah was completed. And Shlomo brought in the set-apart items of his father David, the silver and the gold and all the utensils. And he put them in the treasuries of the house of Elohim." And verse 3, "And all the men of Israel assembled..." "...to the sovereign at the festival, which was in the seventh month." The only month, the only festival was the seventh day, festival of the seventh month. "And on the eighth day they held an assembly, for they performed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the festival 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents, rejoicing and glad of heart for that goodness that Yehovah had done for David and for Shlomo and for his people Israel." This is repeated in Malachim Aleph or 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, verses 65 and verse 66. All attest to the same time. Yehovah will pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's what Yeshua announced in Jerusalem about the living waters almost 2,000 years ago. On the last day of that great day feast of Sukkot, on the last day, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying in Yochanan chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. And on the last day, the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. And as the scripture says, out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water." And this he said concerning the Ruach, or the Spirit, which those believing in him were about to receive, for the set-apart Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua had not yet been esteemed. Sukkot will also be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it will be held in Jerusalem after Yeshua returns from heaven with his bride. Sukkot will be celebrated each year for 1,000 years that he reigns on this earth. And this celebration will be held every year on Yeshua's birthday. Can we go to Zechariah 14:16, please? "And it shall be that all who are left from all the Gentiles which came up against Jerusalem shall go up year to year to bow themselves to the sovereign Yehovah of hosts and to observe the festival of booths." And to put my own paraphrase, "It shall be that everyone who's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall all go up from year to year to worship the King, Adonai Zivaot, our King and great High Priest Yeshua, and keep the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles." Sukkot will be the time of fulfillment of Yehovah's word to Avram in Bereshit chapter 12 and verse 3b. and in you all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. And in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 25, 6 to 10, it says, and in this mountain, Yehovah of hosts shall make all the people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of old wines, a choice pieces with marrow, of old wines well refined. And he shall swallow up on this mountain the surface of the coverings which cover all the people, and the veil which is spread over all nations. And he shall swallow up death forever. And the Master Yehovah shall wipe away tears from all faces, and take away the reproach of his people from all the earth. For Yehovah has spoken, and it shall be said in that day, see, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, he saves us. This is Yehovah, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his deliverance, for the hand of Yehovah rests on this mountain. Yeshua has placed all these truths in his word. I'm only giving you his word, I'm not making anything up. In Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 32 it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in verse 37, then Pilate said to him, you are a sovereign then? And Yeshua answered, you say it because I am a sovereign. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And in Matthew 24, verses 3 to 4, it says, and he sat on the Mount of Olives, and he taught the ones came to him separately, saying, say to us, when shall this be? And what is the sign of your coming and the end at the end of the age? And Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. No one means no man or no woman. Yeshua came to earth not only to save us and forgive us, but also to restore the truths from Yehovah's word of all that he is and all that he has accomplished for us in his death and resurrection. He came to restore Yehovah's image and likeness back into mankind. We have failed to honor our Messiah, our Savior, Adonai Yeshua, if we don't celebrate his true birthday, proven from the scriptures during the Feast of Sukkot. Sukkot is Yeshua's seven-day birthday party. On this day, the eighth day, he was circumcised and he was named, which is also a great celebration in a Hebrew boy's life. It's a time to celebrate Yeshua's true birthday on the greatest biblical feast of all, Sukkot. So happy Yeshua naming day. I don't need claps, please. For Yeshua only. It's an awesome time to be able to share that with you. And I know there's a lot in there. But if you don't hear it from me, you're not going to hear it from anyone. Because the people, you don't hear it in any other churches. You probably don't hear it in any other Messianic congregations. I try to bring to you the truth of Yehovah's word. And that's why I back it with scripture. And nothing of this is me. It's all what has been given to me by Yehovah through his word. And so we have to always remember that his word is the truth. His word, only his word, and not the words of man, not the words of doctrine, not the words of anyone else, but Yehovah and Yeshua, the Father and the Son. And they will reveal the word to you through the Ruach HaKodesh. Not everything is going to ring with you. Not everything I've said is going to sound right. That's okay. Because you take what you want and you leave the rest. If it doesn't line up with you, check the scriptures for yourself. Fact check me. Make sure I'm correct. And if I'm wrong, tell me. I will listen. Show me. I will listen. because I only hear from the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and give what he gives me. But if you are different and you think it's wrong, then you have the right to be able to fact check that. I'm not saying what comes out of my mouth is always true. I do everything to the best of my ability. And I line it up with Yehovah's word to the best of my ability. But check it for yourself. Don't trust man. Trust Yah. That's what I'm trying to say. So let's go to the remembrance service. And remember Yeshua for all that he has done for us. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.